Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events.
All right, welcome everybody to episode number 12 of the Duluth Rundown podcast, recorded live from my kitchen. And this is the Malcolm McCauley episode. We're going to be interviewing Malcolm McCauley later on. Hope you enjoy that. For those of you who do know Malcolm, he's a great guy. If those of you who don't, I think you're going to enjoy this interview and this episode. Got a little bit of our traditional stuff to kind of go down, but as you might expect, there's fewer races to talk about. So this first half of the podcast will definitely be a little shorter than what it's been in the past.
It's pretty crazy how dramatically the races drop off.
Yeah.
I mean, just two podcasts ago, our last podcast was it, we had just so like a page full of results,
right.
And now there's one.
Yeah.
We have one result from the Fall River Run. Just jumping into recent race results here. 121 runners finished, which is pretty good. This race was on November 12th in Superior, Wisconsin. Miles Fisher, a 14-year-old, won the race with an 18:57. Nice job, Miles. And the ladies' side, Laura Gubelman, won with a 25:31.
18:51 for a 14-year-old on that course is moving pretty good. I've never ran that race, but I've ran that course, and it's tough.
I think he won by over a minute.
Yeah, that's moving pretty darn good, especially for a 14-year-old.
Yeah,
nice job.
Upcoming races, we have kind of one big race, and I mean, this is one of the biggest 5Ks. So despite not having a lot of different races, there's still one big race of the year, and that is the Gobble Gallop 5K and 1 mile, which is on Thanksgiving
Day, yeah.
So I perused a few of the entrance. Usually it's a pretty fast race. Usually it's pretty deep on the men's and the women's side. But there's just like literally thousands of names and it's really hard to go through. So I happen to come across a few. Evan Walpole, I think, will be up in, you know, top five for sure. He's come second place at two recent races behind Scott Bayling. So, you know, definitely a sub 17 type runner. I think Dave Hypanen has said he's running, and I know he's in pretty good shape. And so,
yep.
Especially doing some longer 10K stuff, I'm curious to see if he'll sharpen down for the 5K.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I think he'll be ready for sure.
I think he'll be ready. Yeah. Scott Bayling, I did not see him on the list. Kind of word on the street, he might be injured, or I mean, who knows really? But maybe pop in. If so, I think he's probably a lock to win.
Yeah, I hope he's not injured. If he is, I hope it's just something minor and he can come race, because I know he races that one a lot. So
I think he's won several times.
Yeah.
On the ladies' side, I couldn't find any of the past ladies champions from the last few years, but I did see Rochelle Wirth.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's a masters runner, super good. Probably about a 20-minute 5K.
Yep.
Aurora Koth, she does a lot of racing, and she's about a 20-minute 5K person, I believe, too. So without, you know, looking super deep into it, I think those two are definitely going to be, you know, top five or so.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's a great race, you know, fun way to start off, Thanksgiving, and, just a lot of people, you know, New Superior Street, that's going to be pretty fun to run through. And
that's right. Yeah. That'll be cool.
I have an upcoming race. It's not really a Duluth race. It's in Minneapolis, but mm-hmm. It's called the Mustache Run, and it's a 5K, 10K, and a half marathon. I'm doing the 10K.
Nice.
That's going to be fun.
What's the course like, flat or hilly?
It's pretty hilly. It's on like River Drive or River Road down in Minneapolis.
Okay.
I probably have that wrong, but I know you do go down kind of a big hill, and then the turnaround's at the bottom and you go right back up.
Lovely.
There's at least one pretty big downhill and one uphill on the course. So
okay.
It's not super fast. I will say that.
Another thing too to consider at that time of the year is going to be what the road conditions are going to be like. It could be ice covered and it could be dry. So who knows?
And I believe it's supposed to kind of snow this week. So
yeah,
that could be a little dicey.
Yep.
I don't know if we have another podcast in time, but we should mention there's another new race, the Wild Santa Run.
Okay.
Duluth Running Co. is putting it on with Wild State Cider.
Okay.
And nice. It's on December 14th.
Okay.
And actually, there are two other races too. Yeah. Anyways, everyone gets a Santa costume, so it's kind of
hear about this.
It's kind of zany concept where
I heard
you
about
sign
this
up
the other day.
You get the costume.
Yep.
And there's the Jingle Bell Run too. That's on the 7th.
That always happens early on. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And that's a pretty fun 5K. Been going on a long time too. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep.
I guess there are a few races.
Couple of them here and there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that's upcoming races. Let's move on to the trails report. I think the trails report is kind of all over the place. I went on a trail run today and it was awesome. You know, it was kind of just crunchy, you know, it was nice and warm. So it's kind of crunchy, melted, refrozen type snow. I don't know. It was good.
You were farther out of town.
I was farther out of town.
Yeah.
Then, you know, Malcolm, for instance, mentioned that he was in a mud pit. Or no, the ice rink. Yeah. And you were in a muddy, on the gravel road.
I was on Vermilion, and I peeked down the Cogs trails there that runs between Vermilion and Jean Duluth. I just looked down it, and it looked really muddy already. You know, that was, what time was that? Maybe around 1 o'clock or so. So it was kind of high of the warmth for the day.
Mm-hmm.
But the road, the gravel road itself, was really muddy. So, yeah, I don't know what the trails – I imagine the trails in town were probably not great for running. And last I saw with some of the COGS websites and their kind of trailers reports were the morning and evenings were probably okay for trail, but during the middle of the day they were probably a little too soft.
Right.
That was the last I saw, but that was probably 4 or 5 days ago.
Well, and, you know, the last 2 days have been well over 40 degrees. So, you know, that just melts it, and the frost, you know, turns into mud. And
my guess is, you know, as we're recording this now, it's Sunday, and we had that really the warm day today. And my guess is probably pretty soon, though, we'll have pretty much permanent freeze, and we won't have to worry about melt so much, and most of the trails will be open. But that's just a guess. So as you kind of listen to this podcast here in the next 2 to 3 weeks or so, my guess would be that they might be open then, but probably on Monday, maybe even Tuesday, who knows what the temps will be like, but they might not be open for those 2 days. We'll see.
Maybe we could talk about kind of the snow, you know, like the protocol when it snows too, because we're getting into that season where, you know, it snows 12 inches.
Yeah.
I believe that a lot of the trail organizations kind of recommend to get it packed down before you run on it. So like if you're post-holing, turn around.
Yep.
And so, you know, alternative options would be like to take the fat bike out or
snowshoes, maybe
Yep. Or, I just got these, kind of ski shoes, these like long, short skis.
You did
kind of for like lake travel.
Yeah.
And so I think something like that might work well.
Yeah.
I should take that back for fat biking, even fat bike, you know, the Cogs trails, they, use a snowmobile with a tire to pack it down.
Yeah, they try to groom them first to get it to be a solid base. That's where snowshoes do actually kind of work relatively well. For that, they can actually pack them down a little better than a fat bike because it's a little – you get the two snowshoes. So you get a little wider base there.
Right.
So if you get about – I don't know, 3, 4, 5 guys out doing single file conga line and snowshoes, you'll create a really nice base real fast. One trip around would almost do it if you've got enough snow. Yeah,
that's just something to keep in mind. You know, take the snowshoes, especially if you're post-holing, you know, that the post-hole, that makes it just rutted and, and it's not nice.
That's almost the worst thing is like a single footprint, you know, that kind of travels the length of the trail or one single person post-holing footprint after footprint after footprint. That's really difficult for the trails to recover from. It takes a lot of snow to fill in those holes and to create another base. So,
So, but a lot changing on the trails as we kind of change seasons here. Anything for Coach's Corner or not really?
Yeah, not so much. We'll talk a little bit, I guess we can call it Coach's Corner. Mike and I, we want to talk a little bit about some cold weather running as we're now into that season. And we had some really cold temperatures, you know, a week to 10 days ago, and it just felt frigid. And you know, how do you dress for that? And I think so many people that probably listen to this podcast are aware and know how to dress for it pretty well. But in case you don't, you know, the big thing is a good solid base layer. I always tell people that warmth starts with your base layer and not so much with your outer layer, that warmth really starts first what's up against your skin. So something that's kind of snug and tight and it's going to wick moisture, whether it's synthetic or a merino wool. I personally like merino wool the best as a base layer, but synthetics work well as well. And then like maybe a middle layer and then a kind of a wind blocking shell over the top of that. And honestly, a lot of times you can get away with a pretty light jacket. Mm-hmm. If you've got a good base layer and maybe a mid layer, depending on the temps, hats, gloves, that kind of thing too. But another thing too is with cold weather running, it also often means dark running. So mm-hmm. whether it's morning or after work, it's dark. So bright colors, reflective material, headlamp, blinky lights, all those things are really important whether you're on the trails or on the roads. It's really nice to have all that kind of stuff so that other people can see you.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it always gets a little bit dicey. Plus when the snow comes and there's snowbanks on the side of the road, you can't be as far over. I remember last year I was running along a skyline right by Chester, and there were two delivery trucks, you know, the holidays like FedEx and everything, they're going like crazy. There's two delivery trucks on either side of the road and two cars coming.
Yeah.
And there's me running.
Yeah. Like, where do I go?
Like, oh, I'm really glad I have my blinky light. Cause yeah. I was just like in my black, you know, jacket, my black pants. Like I would just be
sometimes like, you'll see that. You see someone in a black pants, black top and no light at all. And you don't see them. And if it's like your car, until the second you're right on them, that's really dangerous.
Yeah.
And so you definitely want to be a little more visible. Another couple of things that I would like to mention here too, is when you are running on the roads, you're supposed to run on the left side of the road facing traffic. Sometimes, again, when the snowbanks get and the snow gets really crazy and you maybe some blind corners, that kind of thing, maybe you need to adjust that a little bit. But for the most part, run on the left side of the road. And a big reason why is because as a runner, you're aware of a car long before a car is aware of you, because you're just kind of looking out for the car where the car isn't looking out for you. And you can be proactive and get out of the way before the car even comes near you.
Right.
But if it's kind of coming up behind you a little bit, because you're on the right side of the road, you have far less time to get out of the way. So it's far safer to be on the left side of the road facing traffic.
Yep.
Sometimes I see some runners running on the wrong side of the road
with traffic
at their back, and that's just not the safe thing to do. And especially if you're someone who wears headphones, because now you can't hear that car coming up behind you and it's right up on you, and so that's a little scary.
That's all you got.
And another thing too to talk about this time of the year is traction devices and things on your shoes, especially if there's some ice underneath the snow. So whether it's like a Yak Trax thing that you put onto your shoe, or screw shoes work really well. You take a 3/8 inch sheet metal screw, screw those into the bottom of your shoe. That works really well. Mm-hmm. Anything like that to help you kind of bite into the ice and the snow a little bit for a safer footfall is a good thing.
I like to run in, I've talked about it before, the Brooks Cascadia is kind of my go-to all-around winter shoe.
Yeah, it's a great winter shoe.
I kind of have one shoe for the roads, the trail, everything in winter.
Yep, and me too, a lot of times. A good cushy trail shoe.
Yeah, or like the Nike Wild Horse, something that has some cushion and some durability, but also the tread, I think, really makes a difference, even on the roads, even the slushy, you know, like Lake Walk.
Yeah.
You know, it's never perfectly, you know, grippy.
Yep.
And there's always slippery spots. There's always snow and ice. And it's just kind of the name of the game with winter running.
I feel like right now we can still get away with a pure road shoe. The Lake Walk itself is actually really clear right now, but it's not going to be long. It's going to be 2 or 3 weeks maybe, and it's going to be, like you said, that Lake Walk will be cleared for running, but it won't be bone dry. It's going to be still some snow and ice on there, and those just that trail shoe alone with a grip is enough to kind of bite in, where a road shoe, you won't bite in as well.
And just like kind of the form, you know, I almost think of winter as like a time where I can work on my form, like landing in front, right under my center of mass, because then you don't slip out as easy.
Yeah.
So like my gait changes in the winter for sure.
Yeah, for
just because I don't want to go down, you know.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
One other thing, I guess, and this is kind of within the gear review, I guess we've kind of just transitioned. I know we kind of talked about gear a little bit, but with the blinkies, and reflective. Reflective works great if the light's shining at you. So if not,
then reflective doesn't work.
You need a light.
And that's where the lights come in handy. Yeah, whether it's a headlamp is for you to see better, but it's also so other people can see you. So a headlamp serves dual purposes. Mm-hmm. And then some of those clip-on red blinky lights on the back that the cyclists use, it works great as for a runner as well.
There's just so many products out there these days where, you know, like a vest that has the whole lit up, you know.
A little kind of harness sort of thing that either stay solid color or they blink as well. Those are really nice for sure.
A $15 life insurance policy.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Any other winter gear that you want to talk about?
You know what? I'm just going to mention this only because personally I love these things. It's just those cheap little buffs. Like a neck gaiter deal. My goodness, those things keep you so warm. There's that thin little fabric kind of rolled up. Just have it when it's really cold out. That's a must have. How much heat you can trap just kind of covering up that little hole where your jacket doesn't quite seal up. That'll keep you so warm.
I use that for my ears. You know, so in the really cold, I'll have like, or I don't know, maybe like 10 degrees, I'll have two buffs, like one on my head and then one on my face. And yeah, I like that too.
Those are one of the best winter gears, and they're super cheap and super simple. And man, those things are great.
I think the fear is that people will be too cold when they go run. But I think I see more people who overdress. And I always remember, I always keep this in mind. I look at the temperature, and then I say, now I'm forgetting my little mantra. I think like it's 10 degrees warmer, and I'm, I don't know, going to go stand at the bus stop or something. You know, so if it's 20, I kind of dress like it's 30 degrees because then when you get going and you start running, you warm up so much.
Your body temperature rises.
That's just a lot of trial and error though, I think.
Yeah. Everybody's a little different in what they can tolerate and what they enjoy, what's comfortable for them. But certainly everybody's body temperature does rise a little bit as they're out there going. So you see it all the time where we all do it. I still do it. Oh man, I think I overdressed today because I'm sweating like crazy. You know, so
What are you into?
What am I into? Well, what I'm into right now, I'm reading a really good book, and it's called Stillness is the Key. It's by an author named Ryan Holiday. He's kind of, I guess, sometimes he might be described as sort of a modern Stoic. He talks a lot about some of the Greek schools of philosophy like Stoicism and things. And anyway, it's a really good book. It just kind of teaches you or talks about, you know, just kind of slowing down, learning how to slow yourself down in this fast-paced modern world. And I'm just really enjoying it. I like books like that that kind of, I don't know, get you to think a little bit about maybe some of your approaches to life.
So this isn't a running book.
I read every book almost from a running book standpoint kind of a deal, whether it's I'm trying to find some ideas for my coaching practices or just for me as a runner. It's not a running book by any means, but I actually have seen a lot of how I even first heard about it was from other coaches, other people.
Principles in there, kind
of. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so anyway, I'm reading that. Like I say, every book I read, especially books of this type, you might describe it as a self-help book. I read it with the point of view of a runner.
I'm into a new website I launched, Duluth Adventures. I think it's so cool. I'm like obsessed with it. So everyone check it out, www.duluthadventures.com. I think it's just kind of a cool.
It is cool. Deal. Mike just launched this brand new website. Tell us a little bit about it, Mike, because it is pretty. It's a really cool idea, I think.
Well, I guess I kind of got the idea because if anyone has listened to the Duluth Rundown before, they know how I'm obsessed with fastestknowntime.com and just the fastest known time world. But also this year I got a few ideas of these cool, like loop based multi-sport kind of just training day essentially. And one being like a paddleboard down the St. Louis River and then bike back, you know, and kind of schlep my board back from Leif Erikson to my house, you know? So it's kind of a triathlon, like a paddle, portage, bike, triathlon. And so with that, you know, I was like that, and I did it. And it was like, that was super cool. And I kind of logged my time. I was like, I wonder if someone could do it faster, you know, or what another person's approach would be. And then, you know, I start thinking what other routes are out there, and it's kind of the same style of like a multi-sport. And Duluth just offers so many options. Like if you think about it, you know, the Munger Trail is the paved bike trail, and that kind of parallels the Superior Hiking Trail, the off-road, mm-hmm. you know, and that parallels the Cogs Mountain Bike Trail, and that parallels the St. Louis River, you right. know, to paddle.
Yep.
And so there's just so many options to do a loop like this. So anyways, I kind of had the website to showcase different people's routes and how fast they did them, kind of like a fastest known time thing, but also just like an exploration and kind of to spark the creativity of people who, you know, might want to do more bike run or any type of multi-sport thing. So it's essentially just a map with listings on it, like a encyclopedia of different routes in Duluth.
So you can go on the website and click on them and see the different routes that people have posted. I'll be posting one here. Hopefully it works for me pretty soon that I had done a handful of years ago. This was a bike run bike that I did up just kind of outside of town. But you can look at other people's postings and say, oh, here's what this guy or this gal did that one day. They did a swim and a bike and a run or whatever here, and this is their route. This is how far they went. And you can either, I guess if you wanted to, replicate that, or you could use that as some inspiration for your own kind of deal. And yeah, it's a cool idea. Years ago when I lived in Iowa, before I moved up here, I did something like that a handful of times with bike, run, kayak. Used to do this is before Garmin Connect and things ever existed, but it was so much fun. And I would do it solo, you know, utilizing a bike rack and a kayak rack on top of the car. And they're fun days.
It's really fun to do. And so I think really my goal is to just inspire people to like, this would be a cool thing to try.
Yeah.
I'm going for it.
Yep. And Duluth has so many of those things to offer. So
a lot of options.
Yeah. Yeah. Great big lake.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Shout out.
Cool. I have a shout out to my friend Brock Hansmeyer, who a lot of you, I'm sure, know. He had an mountain bike accident early this summer and maybe this fall, I guess. But anyway, he posted on Facebook. A lot of you probably already had seen this, but he's able to do some walking the other day with a walker. He walked 137 feet, and it was just really cool to see that video and super super awesome and proud of him for doing that. That was really inspirational to see. So a big shout out to Brock Hansmeyer and to his whole family who are out there supporting him too, and all the other people who have supported him along the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a cool story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, should we get to our interview with Malcolm McCauley?
Let's do that. Yeah.
All right.